session number 20136, Reel 1.
Alek Milcharek, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
In Poland, 21st October 1925.
What was the name of the town or village where you were born?
It was a small settlement. We used to live on the farm, named Hylin.
Where is it in Poland?
It used to be in eastern Poland.
Near which town?
Dąbrowica. Or Stolin, between them.
And can you tell me about your family background, please?
Yes, it was originally started with my father, mother. Later on, there was one sister, myself, and two sisters after that.
What did your father do for a living?
He was ex-soldier when he was fighting for freedom of Poland with General Piłsudski. After that, he had a chance, either go and work in office, or he could get a grant of land. He took the farm.
Had he been a professional soldier?
No. No, they'd just been fighting for freedom of Poland.
Did he tell you about any of his memories?
Oh, yes.
What did he tell you about being a soldier?
Well, first of all, you know, say they were a small group of people, you know, say, and General Piłsudski, well, he was only, you know, not general then at the time. He was starting, you know, from nothing. He was in a prison in Germany. When Germans, you know, say, release him from prison, he started organizing, you know, units of Polish army or future Polish army. They were groups of Poland, different groups, 20, 30 or so. Later on, when more people start coming in, they got bigger. Actually, he knew Piłsudski, you know, say like, well, they weren't friends, you know, but he knew him, and Piłsudski used to call him, "Hello, Joseph," you know, and all that. Actually, he remembered him for a long time afterwards, up to to the war, because he used to send presents, you know, say for children, you know, and ex-soldiers who was living near us. So, you know, obviously he remembered him. And father, you know, say the other thing, you know, where later on when they start war, you know, with Germany and with Soviet Russia after Russian Revolution, he said, you know, they were advancing towards some small town. And then, you know, say they didn't know. The Russians attacked them. And they were only 30 or so people there, but there was a lot of Russians. And so they tried to hide, you know, say in a somewhere in farms building, but Russian went with rifles and bayonets on the rifles, and they hide in straw, and they've been pushing bayonets right there. Well, they got somebody there, somebody here who couldn't help it, so they started, you know, that took that straw off, and well, there was about, as I said, 20 or 30 people there. They took them all out. My father, I remember, said, you know, that he had decent boots, you know. Don't know where he got them from. Anyway, them Russian, you know, they told him, you know, to take them boots off. But they were a bit small. He said, "I can't take them off. You know, they're rather small." So that Russian had a whip. You know, he gave him, you know, say, bend it over. You know, he gave him, you know, few. Father said, "I never knew, you know, I could take them shoes so quick." So he took them off, and Russian took him and put them off for himself, because he had, you know, say, nothing worse, you know, say, saying rubbish it was, you know, say, they had no uniforms or nothing. There was rabble, you know, say, communists in those days. Anyway, as it happens, another Polish unit was coming by, and they noticed that, and they attacked, and they got them Russians, and father got his boots back. He was even so pleased with that, apparently. Well, he would, wouldn't he?
And can you tell me about the farm that you cultivated, please?
Well, yes, it was 28 hectares, let us say. And it was too much for him, really, because there was nothing there, you know. Say, what was, you know, Polish government at the time, after the war, you know, say First World War, you know, say they took over big farms and all that, and they divided, you know, parcel for 28 or 30, you know, hectares. There was about 10 people, you know, say, on that place there. It wasn't even a village, you know, just small place, you know, farms isolated. So he had, it was hard going because, you know, say there was hardly any money there. Well, more or less, country was just beginning to get on its feet.
And can you tell me about the neighboring people in your area?
Oh, yeah, there was, you know, say, different people, you know, say, more or less they were in the same units. They knew each other. That's why they stuck together. There is next to us, what, shall I tell the name? Well, it was Mr. Frank Staniaszek. On the other side, there was Mr. Sobirajski. And there was Woźniak, Sroka.
How did everybody get on with each other?
Oh, they got on very well. They helping each other, say, women are same like men. If there was something needs, you know, say, plowing, you know, or they used to help one, you know, say, help one other one, it was, you know, a bit cheaper, and it was handy. Anyway, you know, say, after a couple of years or so, when everybody got, you know, say, cultivate, you know, say, all ground, what they could afford to, you know, say, because our farm consists of land, arable land, you know, say, and there was a bit of forest, not much, you know, say, but there was a bit of forest, and about 5 kilometers from there, by the river Swoosh, there was, you know, say, given a bit of place everybody got, so they could go and cut the grass for, you know, sort of feeding cattle or horse or whatever.
Did your father employ people on the farm?
Well, there was usually two people. I can't remember when I was little, but mostly, you know, say, there was one woman always, you know, helping mother, and another young nipper. There was a lot of, you know, small villages, you know, say, people, mostly Ukrainians or Belarusians, you know, they used to come, you know, and work, help, you know, say, with the farm. And after a couple of years or so, father bought himself with more land in two places, so there was more work there. He couldn't manage himself. So, you know, he hired people, say, like, you know, come when potato picking up, or, you know, say, we had a lot of rye, you know, so that have to be put in places, you know, and for dry storage and all that. So we used to have sometimes about as much as 80 people, you know, ladies and men. So it was done quick because, you know, say, somebody might be helping us, you know, say, horses have to be, you know, say, and well, there was no cars in those days. Horse and cart, that was, you know, a farm. So they used to bring, you know, say, people used to pick up potatoes, you dug up, you know, hoe a little bit, and then potatoes were put in that hoe, and then straw was put over that, and then, you know, say, was covered with earth, except, you know, one or two bits of straw sticking up through, so potatoes wouldn't rot, and air was going down there, circulate, and then potato was taken up during the winter, you know, say, when we need it.
What was your father selling from the farm?
Well, he was selling, you know, say, obviously what we got, you know, say, any grain, potatoes. Well, you had to sell, you know, sometimes cow, you know, or so, you know, say, or pork, or, you know, something like that.
Who did he sell to?
Oh, well, there used to be a lot of Jews, you know, say, they come, you know, say, around and buy anything, you know, say, butter, mother used to make, you know, say, or even if they come in time, you know, say, well, it's things like that. Milk, even now, at first. Mind you, them Jews don't all right out of the people, you know, say, because when they start, they had nothing, you know, say, just a bag over his shoulder. After a few years, you know, there was a little small, well, you could say, town, about 5 kilometers from us, you know, and they start opening shop, restaurant, you know, say, on a shop, something, you know, say, like this line. Well, something for the farmers, you know, say, plow or whatever. And also later on, some of our chap, you know, say, his friends, father friends, they, you know, say, they had, you know, say, one or two pigs or so they opened restaurant, you know, say they've been making their own sausages, you know, and all that. You had to get a license for that, obviously, you know, but it was extra money. Some of them, you know, say actually they open a shop, you know, clothes shop. You could buy, you know, say materials. In those days, people used to make their own clothes and all that. I mean, I remember, you know, my sister, when they grow up later on, well, they were, you know, making clothes, you know, say first class. Actually, you know, my elder sister, she was so good, you know, she don't, you know, for friends and all that. As I said, people used to, you know, say, help each other in those days. Say, like mother on a farm, supposed to, you know, say, especially in summer, he busy on farm, you know, so when she bake, you know, that's everybody, you know, bake their own bread, you know, or whatever, cakes or sour milk, that was popular, making cheeses and all that. So neighbors or whoever ever, you know, was short of few loaves of bread, you know, they say, oh, could you, you know, say, spare, you know, say, a few loaves of bread? Well, that's how people used to live in those days. Say, they borrow, you know, say, a few loaves of bread or whatever, you know, say, and then, you know, say, when they bake, you know, they brought it back. Yeah, and it helps everybody in that way.
Was it a happy or unhappy time for you before the war?
Well, it was very happy. I had good friends, you know, say, because we were children like that, you know, so we used to go, you know, say, to school together. Mind you, the school, you know, we had school. It was about 3 kilometers, and we used to have, you know, say, we had to go to school every day. And it was summer, winter, you know, snow or so. And we thought nothing of it, you know, we enjoyed it, you know, say, even snow fights, you know, so or rain, you know, say, well, you took it for granted. As I said, we had a bit of forest and neighbors as well. We used to go pick up blackberries, you know, or raspberries. On one side of us, it was, you know, say, a bit of wet ground, you know, say, but everything used to grow there. There was some timber. We used to go pick up, you know, say, mushrooms and raspberries, strawberries, early strawberries. We used to go pick up there. I tell a little story about that timber there. Father and other people, instead of cut their own timber, you know, for use or for building something, you know, say, store or whatever, so they used to go in an evening and they cut the timber and get, you know, horse and cart and bring the timber and dump in our forest. They've been going on for a little while, you know. And till, you know, say, police got to know somebody. Well, police. There was one policeman in that little town about 3 miles away from us. Somebody told him, I suppose, you know, and he come and start poking on everybody's peoples like that. And also in that little forest, there was a lot of rabbits and I don't know what other, you know, say, birds and all that. Anyway, father used to go with his friends. He had an army revolver, big one, actually. And his friends, you know, live not far from him, you know, say, Stanyashe. He had a rifle, actually, short one. I don't know. I suppose it was, you know, cut too short, so, you know, so you could carry it easy. Anyway, they went, you know, shooting something or other. And that police was waiting for police. That one policeman, you know, was waiting somewhere, you know. Anyway, when they shoot something, so he come out and he tried to arrest them. But they ran away. One went one way and father went come to home. And in the kitchen, and that father coming straight was running. And he got to kitchen and there was table by the door. And so he put that revolver on the table and put his hat on top of that revolver. You know, on table in the kitchen. Well, minutes after father got, policeman follows. He said, I got you this time. He said, what are you talking about? Innocence, you know. He said, well, I saw you running, you know, say, I hear shooting, you know, and all that. He said, I bet I find, you know, what you shot there. He said, no. Father said, it wasn't me, you know, say, I got no revolver or nothing. I can shoot with my fingers. He said, all right, then, do you mind if I had a look around, you know, say, that revolver lying, you know, the policeman rests against the table. And he went around the house quick, you know, say, well, there was 2 bedrooms, you know, and kitchen and, well, kind of indoor shed, you know, for storage and all that. He went around, you know, say, come back, he rests his hand. I was in the kitchen, you know, so, well, we all were there. It's news policeman, you know, they try to catch father. So that policeman put his hand on the table next practically to the hat covering that revolver. He said, he scratched his head. He said, oh, well, I don't know. Where did you put it? What did you do? Did you throw it away? And he said, I can't throw it away. What, I haven't got it. And he went. He got away with it.
What law had he broken?
Pardon?
What law had he broken?
Well, yeah. So, you know, say law was broken, but nobody got caught, you know. So but everybody was doing it. Why cut your own timber, you know, or so, when you can get there for nothing, government, you know. And besides, you know, during the winter, when I was bigger, I used to go, there was rabbits by galore, so I used to go and catch them, you know, say, no, you're not supposed to do it, but everybody was doing it.
Can you tell me about your schooling, please?
Yes, actually, you know, say our family, my sister, you know, elder sister, she was very clever. Well, I was clever as well, except math, you know, that wasn't my... I was doing all right, you know, but I had to think a little bit. Everything, you know, I could remember, I had a very good memory. And I was doing so well that even teacher in our class used to say, there was another girl, Irene Pukas, you know, she was very clever. So teacher sometimes, well, there was only one room for the classes, you know, small one and big ones, you know. So teacher had to smaller children and bigger one, you know, say, the better, you know, say, clever, more clever children used to teach the other. Teacher said, you, could you take this, you know, group and take this, and teacher had the other one. Well, there was PT, you know, outside in summer and all that. Even in winter, you know, there was just not far from school, there was quite a big tall hill. We used to go there, and we used to go down skiing or whatever, play there, snowballs and all that. But in summer, you know, say, well, mostly, you know, say it was, I had one group of so few children, the Irene take another one, and we used to teach children, and I done pretty well, you know, so well, actually, that you could say, I suppose, council, you know, say our council, give me a grant and send me to gymnasium in Pinsk, oh, I suppose 100 kilometers or so, and, you know, I got grant for to live there in gymnasium, you know, say, and well, I done all right till 1939 war broke out, so I had to come back. I come back, well, there was no train there or nothing, but I walk, you know, say most of the time, you know, or that 100 miles home. Then, you know, say after a little while, few months, you know, say everything more or less Russian come in, you know, say, well, took it over, everything. But they didn't poke because our village was small, so you only seen one Russian official now and again. But I thought, well, perhaps I can go back to school. So I went back to school. But everything was, you know, in that town, you know, say there was cathedral there, the Russian put, you know, say a few artillery shells through that.
Which town?
Pinsk. You know, and there was... The gymnasium was closed. What we were told, you know, say that by the staff who was there, he said, well, no, they don't want to teach you Polish, you know, say, and there is nobody to teach the Russians. So I went back to our farm.
What was life like when the Russians took over?
Well, in our place, it wasn't too bad because our parents and people living in our, you know, say, place, they've been very well. They treat local people very well, you know, giving employment, you know, say, and even being, you know, say, godfathers to their children and all that. They, you know, appreciate that, so they left us alone. But a few months, you know, say, Russians start sending, you know, say, that their secret police or whatever, and they try to stir it up people so they would... You know, say, well, more or less, you know, say, take away our, you know, say, farm animals and everything from us, even kill us. We hear, you know, say, news. I don't know, news travels so fast, you don't know where it comes from, really. But news gets through. Say, somebody come, you know, say, well, maybe some friends or so come in and say, well, about 20 or 30 kilometers, there was, you know, say, Ukrainians or Russians, you know, say, who dressed, you know, say, like Ukrainians. They kill so many people on farms, you know, say. So they say, you be careful. whatever you do, don't upset Russian or don't upset local people. But we didn't have nobody to upset because, you know, we liked them because they were people like anybody else. So they, you know, they help us, as I said, you know, we give them employment. So they didn't want to do it anything. Mind you, there was always, you know, there is somebody or other, because Russian with propaganda, they've been sending their people. They try organize them, Russians, you know, they make them young Ukrainians, communist. And, well, I don't know, that would come, you know, to 1940 when they took us out to Russia. Shall I continue?
Yes.
Well, so we was, you know, bothered, or the people, local people didn't bother us. There was lots said, you know, in some people, you know, say villages, you know, say further on in farms, the people got killed, you know, so we were lucky they left us alone because they were good friends, yeah, and we look after them. But, you know, after that was 1939, it comes, you know, say for 1940, people were coming, you know, a bit start getting, you know, say, a bit afraid of Russians stirring up local people. That they, you know, they take our farms away, you know, saying everything, and goods, you know, cattle and pigs and all that, or geese or chickens or whatever. And then comes, you know, say, 10th February 1940, 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, say, well, we went to sleep, you know, normal time in the evening. Oh, noise, you know, say windows, you know, say rattle, you know, say, and, you know, broken one or two, you know, so they kicking doors in. And, oh, so everybody got up, you know, running, what's going on? I remember mother said, you know, say, open the door, and there is no Russian soldiers and locked people there, you know, say, Sobiraisha, that means, you know, say, get ready. Well, the outcome of it was, you know, say that we had to leave, you know, get only, you know, say, I think 30 kilos, you know, say, or so, whatever, we could, food or whatever we wanted, and lift everything, you know, say, you wasn't allowed to take as much as you could. That just enough, they say, you know, say, for a day or so. So you will be supplied with everything. And, you know, there was a horse and cart to come in, you know, say, took us all, put us on. And after about an hour, you know, or two, you know, they took us to railway station, Dombrovica.
How many of you?
Well, everybody, you know, in our, you know, say, community. How many? About 10 families, I suppose. You know, they took us all on cattle tracks, you know, say, took us to that station. And the railway station, there was trucks, you know, waiting, cattle trucks, you know, say, they were waiting. It was only just a cattle truck with a hole in a floor that's supposed to be for toilets, you know. Say, you can see, you know, the embarrassment was for young women or girls and so at first. Anyway, they pack us, you know, say, tight as they could. Well, we stayed there a couple of days, I think. But I another thing, you know, say, I said, you know, say that the local people, you know, say, you know, they more or less support us. But there was a couple living, not exactly local, but they knew us, you know, they used to come and work, you know, say, about, well, 5 or 10 kilometers away, you know, but Ukrainians they were, you know, young people, couple, you know, say, they come with the Russians, you know, say, and they drive the truck, you know, well, horses and to the station, and they really say, ask them, you know, say some people, you know, say, why do you do it? She said, oh, well, you know, Poland is gone, you know, say, now it will be Russia and it will take over, you know, say, that's what they told us, you know, they say Russian police and all that, and commissars, the Russian, you know, secret police told us, you know, that will be ours. But surprise was, you know, say, for them. When we got to that railway station, after everybody got the cattle truck, them two nippers, young Ukrainians, they thought they would be, you know, going with the Russians, you know, take our play, you know, our everything, farms. The Russian said, no, wait a second. He said, you go with them, go to the truck. Oh, that was, you know, let down for them. You can imagine how they feel, don't you? So, and they took us with us, you know, all the way through Moscow, you know, right down, you know, to Komi SSR, you know, to Siberia. But before, they took us, yes, through Moscow, but train was going very slow because in those days, you know, say, well, there was a lot of Russian soldiers' movement, you know, say, army movement on the move. So we always have to be shunted, you know, on the side, you know, and trains used to go eastward. Westward, I mean, you know, say, towards, you know, say, Poland, and towards what Germany had, you know, say, they took Poland as well. And so we went, you know, they took us to the Siberia. Can't remember that place, you know, say, it was on the river somewhere, but quite a big place, this big settlement, newly built there, you know. And then we got out of the cattle trucks, you know, and they took us to, well, I suppose you could call it a restaurant. Anyway, it was eating place, quite big one, because there was a lot of Russian, apparently, you know, say, working in a fishing and supplying places like smaller settlements in Siberia. So that was, you know, say, like kind of restaurant. They took us all people there from them cattle trucks, and they send us, you know, say, well, they give us something to eat, bread and soup. That's what was, you know. And they say, well, later on they had list, well, they had list, you know, people, and they said, you're going to so-and-so place, the other people, you know, say, friends of ours, you know, to another place, and some people went to another place again. We're supposed to be working later on in a forest to fell the timber, you know, and all that. But while we were waiting for transport, we went outside, and there was some bit commotion, you know, somebody, you know, say, high official come in, you know, say he want to have a look at the people, you know, who come in. And, you know, say, I didn't know that because I didn't know much about Russian, you know, say, called communism. Anyway, some oldish people, you know, say, they say, that's Beria. And he was supposed to be, you know, one of the secret policemen, you know, and one of the Russian, you know, government. He wanted blasted come. They say he come and gloat, you know, say, see how, you know, say, Polish people suffer. And they, you know, say, start telling us, you know, say, it serves you right because, you know, you've been oppressing people. And now, you know, you have to work for your living. But they say, if you behave yourself, you know, there is no better country than Soviet Russia. Well, that they say, but that's a different story altogether. Anyway, the transport come in, the local people, that's from in Russia in those days, Stalin, you know, so make collective farm. It used to be called kolkhoz. That's people who used to own land, small communities. They all, Stalin put them all together and make kolkhoz, and they had to work and give all produce, you know. Well, Russian government took so much from and paid them for a little while. But what they pay, Russian government pay for produce, the Russian people starve as well. And they, at that time, they wasn't allowed even to have their own, you know, vegetables in back garden or nothing. They suffer, you know, just as much as us. And there was another thing, you know, say there was that was kolkhoz, and there was sovkhoz. The difference between that sovkhoz was taken, or that was made from big farm, you know, they used to, a lot of rich people, you know, they had, you know, thousands of hectares, you know, and that was taken over, and they send people, you know, displaced person or whoever, and that makes sovkhoz, and they had to do what they've been told to do. Well, they took us, if I had to have a look, that's another thing, and from that place, when transport came, they took us, the people, we've been allocated to place called Vitsunino. It was placed just few barracks made, you know, from timber. There's nothing there, and we're supposed to live there.
Where is this place?
It was in Siberia. It was Shelansky, Shersky Soviet, and also Leso Punkt. That means forest point. In